Well, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 46. That's where we're going to start this morning on this Mother's Day, Sunday, May the 10th, 2026. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Psalm 46 is where we're starting this morning. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's quite a statement. We could just say amen and all go home. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, because of that, will not we fear. We're not going to be afraid. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. That's some pretty dramatic word pictures that God is putting there. And it's really makes the point, whatever trouble we could find ourselves in, whatever it may be, God is a very present help in time of trouble. And that's because he is a God of deliverance. And he's also the God of all encouragement. And that's what I'd like to share on this morning is God's encouragement, which maybe we would need some encouragement once in a while, maybe not. We're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, is everybody there? Almost? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of or by God. The noun and the verb in verses 3 through 7 are from the same Greek word group. And here they're best translated as encouragement or to encourage. Encouragement can certainly be comforting, but its usage here is much more than a tender word or a hug. Encouragement inspires. Encouragement reassures. Encouragement reinforces. It brings courage or strength. The opposite of encouragement would be not encouraged, discouraged, or sad, or depressed. That's the opposite of being encouraged. And it's interesting that both the noun and the verb, either one, come up 10 times in 5 verses. That same word. So does that get our attention? God using the word 10 times in 5 verses? I hope it gets our attention. It should. Also, I want to point out in verse 4 that the words tribulation and trouble from the same Greek word, and it means pressure or affliction. And it can be either mental or physical affliction or pressure. As we go through this section here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I wanted to read from Reverend Cummins, the Working Translation. So verse 4 from the Working Translation. Who encourages us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to encourage those who are in any affliction by the means of the encouragement with which we ourselves are encouraged by God. What a verse, huh? God, we just read in Psalm 46, God is a very present help in trouble. He's a God of deliverance, and He is the God of all encouragement. God doesn't want us discouraged, depressed, sad. He wants us blessed. And notice in that verse, it says, all affliction and any affliction. I think God maybe made that kind of clear in Psalm 46. If everything blows up, we're not going to be afraid because God is a very present help. Verse 5, for as the sufferings for Christ abound in us, so our encouragement also abounds by Christ. Verse 6, if we're afflicted, it's for your encouragement and deliverance. In other words, Paul was saying, look, if we're going through a lot of heavy stuff, that's fine, because it will end up in with your encouragement so that we can take care of you. He is willing to go through stuff so that God's word could move, so that God's people could get the truth of God's word, so that salvation could be preached everywhere. So that's why he said, if we're afflicted, it's for your encouragement and deliverance. Or if we're encouraged, it's for your encouragement, which is energized by patience with regard to the same sufferings that we also suffer. Verse 7, likewise, our hope for you is steadfast, knowing that as you are fellow participants of the sufferings, so you are fellow participants of the encouragement also. 10 times in 5 verses, either the noun or the verb, Paul, by revelation, is opening this second epistle that he wrote to them with encouragement, encouragement, encouragement. And that's understandable initially when Paul first visited Corinth after he left Athens. Remember, he was in Thessalonica, then down to Berea, then down to Athens, and then he went to Corinth. He was there with them personally for about a year and a half. After he left, sometime later, God had him write an epistle, which we know as 1 Corinthians. And it was a pretty stinging reproof epistle, very blunt at times. And as you read 2 Corinthians, you'll see where Paul wanted to go back to visit them. But instead of going back the second time, God had him write this second epistle, second letter to them. And so it begins with great encouragement, which they needed. Because if you're familiar with 1 Corinthians, it's bam, 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 bam. Lots of reproof there. So he's starting this second epistle with a lot of encouragement. So for you and me, what we can learn here is that in any and all afflictions or pressures, whether they be mental or physical, God can and He does bring us great encouragement. Verse 3 told us He's the God of all encouragement. He's the Father of mercies or compassion. And He's the God of all encouragement. Do we need encouragement from time to time? Maybe sometimes more than others. He's still the God of all encouragement. Verse 8, then he goes on and he says this, in fact, we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, concerning our affliction that occurred in Asia, that we were exceedingly weighed down, overpowered, so that we despaired even of living. My goodness, the great apostle Paul sharing this. God told him to write that. Those were not easy times for Paul. You can see some of that in Acts 19 when he was in Asia and the problems in Ephesus and other things going on. But it's interesting that this epistle opens showing that God is the God of all encouragement in any and all afflictions. And then Paul gives a personal example. I don't want you to be ignorant of the trouble that we went through in Asia. So he briefly gives an example, but if you would turn to chapter 11, God had Paul write about many of the things that he endured. So I say it's interesting at the beginning of this epistle, yeah, I don't want you to be ignorant about some really heavy times that we had in Asia, you know, and it's kind of brief there. Then when you get to chapter 11, he really spells out some things. We're going to start in verse 22 of chapter 11. Verse 22. And again, 2 Corinthians is also a reproof epistle. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. I think you know that in the Jewish law, if someone was going to get a beating, you could only give them 40 lashes across the back. If you miscounted, then you take your shirt off and get 40 lashes. So they always do 40 save one, meaning 39. We don't read about those 5 times, do we? But Paul's telling what he went through. One lash would be enough for me. I can't imagine bearing my back and someone whipping me. 5 times. 39 lashes. That's 185 times. Do I have my math right? 5 times 40 is what? 200 minus 5 is what? 195. Thank you. 10 more. Can you? It's hard to even picture that this man went through 195 lashes across his back. Thrice, 3 times was I beaten with rods. That's another type of beating where they put metal or bones at the end of the thing and just... Once was I stoned. That is a form of execution, stoning. I forget where that is in Acts where you can read about that. Where they drug him outside and stoned him. That was how they killed people, executed them. It says the believers stood round about him. He got up from that, went out preaching the next day. Oh my goodness. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. 3 times a shipwreck. And you know, those ships had no motors. Sails or oars. Must have been pretty scary to have a shipwreck because you can't call anybody. I mean, that's why it says, a night and a day I have been in the deep. And you read this stuff about Paul and it just, this is what he went through, that the gospel could move, that God's word could live, that people could get saved. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. You read about a shipwreck in Acts, whatever it is, 22, I think. That's not one of these 3. This epistle was written before that trip to Rome. In journey, we're in verse 26. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Not only all of this stuff that he went through, but his great care and concern for all the churches. You know, God had him write letters. He visited, went back here, went back there. That was on his heart and mind, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? What a man he was to go through all of that. And then in chapter 12, he talks about praying to God to get rid of what's called the messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet him. And that messenger of Satan simply means people who were inspired by the adversary to take him out. And so Paul prayed. So in chapter 12, if you flip over to that in verse 8, 12:8 says, "For this thing, the messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet him off, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." That was the answer. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." God's answer was, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfectly accomplished in weakness." You know, we know from Hebrews chapter 4, where God has invited us, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we could obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That's a good thing for us to do, to pray, right? God's grace is available to all of us because God is a very present help in time of trouble. He is a God of deliverance, and he is the God of all encouragement. So let's go back to chapter 1. We're in 2 Corinthians. We're going to go back to chapter 1. Hard to read that section there in chapter 11 to see what this man went through. So we're in chapter 1, verse 8. And again, I'm reading from the Working Translation. "In fact, we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, concerning our affliction that occurred to us in Asia, that we were exceedingly weighed down, overpowered, so that we despaired even of living." Paul was human. Verse 9, "Moreover, we ourselves had the sentence of death in ourselves, with the result that we could not have confidence in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." That's where Paul's confidence was. The power of God. What other power are you aware of that has the ability to raise the dead? There is none. That's God Almighty that has the power. And that's the God we trust in. That's the God we have confidence in. He's the God of all power and a very present help in trouble. He's the one that has the power to raise the dead, and we can put our trust in God. And then comes that great verse 10. Don't you love this verse? And again, this is from the Working Translation. "He delivered us," God, "He delivered us out of such a great death, and he will deliver. In him we have set our hope that he will still deliver." God is still a delivering God, regardless of situations, even at the point of death. He's a very present help in time of trouble. He's the God of mercies or compassion. He's the God of all encouragement. So, when you and I need a little encouragement, we're bummed out, we're sad, we're disgusted, depressed, discouraged, how do we get God's encouragement? Romans chapter 15, back up just a bit. past 1 Corinthians and then Romans 15. Verse 4 of Romans 15. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through, look at this, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The word comfort in that verse, same one we've been looking at. That we through patience and encouragement of the Scriptures. How encouraging is it for us to read God's Word and see His love, His care, His concern, His power, His deliverance, and His promises to us. How encouraging that is. Like, for example, 2 Corinthians 9, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Is that encouraging? Yes. Yes. Absolutely. You know, after talking about the return of Jesus Christ in 1 Thessalonians 4, you can look this up sometime if you want to, but after all of those wonderful truths about meeting Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, it says, comfort one another with these words. It's the same word. Encourage one another with these words. How encouraging is it to us living in this crazy world with all the stuff going on? How encouraging is it to us to know we're leaving someday? Jesus Christ is going to come back and get us. Is that encouraging? Yes, very much so. So we get God's encouragement from His Word, from the written Scriptures, that we through patience and encouragement of the Scriptures. Another way we get God's encouragement is from fellow believers. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. That's right, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 6, nevertheless, God that encourages those that are cast down, God that encourages those that are cast down, encouraged us by the coming of Titus. Verse 7, and not by His coming only, but by the encouragement wherewith He was encouraged in you when He told us, your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. You and I, we can bring encouragement to our brothers and sisters. One great way to encourage our brothers and sisters is to speak God's word in love, not... We can encourage one another. We can bring that godly... And you know what? That's what we read at the very beginning in chapter 1 when verse 4 said, that we may be able to encourage those who are in any affliction by means of the encouragement with which we ourselves are encouraged by God. Remember we read that in that verse? So God encourages us. Now we're able to bring encouragement to others because God has encouraged us. Oh, isn't it beautiful? It's the family of God. This is what we do. It's you know, we talk about, yeah, we need to love one another. That's a great way of loving people, by bringing encouragement to them. Go to 1 Corinthians. We're in 2. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So it's the Scriptures we get God's encouragement. We can also get and give godly encouragement to our brothers and sisters. Another way we get encouragement from God is by way of the manifestations of interpretation of tongues and prophecy. Do you know what Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14 at the Last Supper? He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, the Comforter, that's from the same word group. He referred to the gift of Holy Spirit as the Comforter. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, it says, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men edification and exhortation and comfort. The word that's translated there, comfort, it's a different word. It's not the word we've been looking at this morning. That word comfort means to speak tenderly, as to soothe or console. It's tender words. But the word exhortation in that verse, it's the same word we've been looking at. Encouragement. You could even say, as we have it in the intermediate Walking in God's Power class, inspire to a more worthy endeavor. And that's what encouragement does. Encouragement doesn't bring a person down. It inspires. It encourages you to move forward. Or street language would be, get out of your funk. So messages of interpretation of tongues or prophecy, when they're operated decently and in order and accurately in the church, when we get together, they will always bring edification. It will build up those who are listening. It will bring encouragement, and it will also bring comfort, the tenderness. Look at the encouragement that God has made available for us, because He knows we live in an ungodly world. We're going to need to be encouraged. We need it. Not only is the world crazy, but a lot of times we end up facing personal issues of our own, whether they're mental, physical, whatever they may be. God doesn't want us sad, depressed, discouraged, and He's made a way for us to be encouraged and blessed. We're going to close in 2 Corinthians 1, where we started. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We get God's encouragement from His written words. Such great encouragement. I remember being with someone once who was going through a really difficult time, and I was fairly young in the word, I guess, and thought of that person as a really solid, great believer. You know, it's kind of like, wow, Paul, nothing could ever happen to him. We read it, didn't we? But anyway, there was a lot going on, and I just remember a statement that he made. He said, I just need to go get my head in the Word. It's like, wow, you do. Just maybe I do too. But we get great encouragement from God from reading His Word. We also get encouraged by brothers and sisters that are walking with the love of God that bring encouragement. And a lot of times, when we're out and about with believers, or, you know, like a fellowship like this, and afterwards we're hanging out and stuff, God is at work within you to will and do of His good pleasure. Maybe there's something you could do or say for someone that would bring them encouragement. And then we have the joy of being in a fellowship where we have manifestations of interpretation of tongues and prophecy, and we get that great encouragement. We get that great edification. We get that comfort. How many times this morning in manifestations did God tell us that He loves us? A lot, right? And other things. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 10. What a verse that is. He delivered us out of such a great death, and He will deliver. In Him we have set our hope that He will still deliver. Yes, He will. God has not lost any of His power. And then verse 11. As you also join in helping, as you join in helping by your prayer request for us. Why do we pray for people? According to God's word, it helps. Helping by your prayer request for us, so that thanks may be given by many persons for the gift of grace given to us through many prayer requests for us. So we pray for people. That's why we pray for people. That's why we have like a season of prayer when we do fellowship here, but I'm sure on your own in your personal life, there are people you pray for. We do it because God says it helps people. God says pray for people. So we just do what God says. In closing here, let's expect the encouragement that God has provided for us. And let's continue to expect to see God's deliverance in our lives. What did that verse say again, verse 10? He delivered us out of such a great death, and he will deliver. In him we have set our hope that he will still deliver. He's still a delivering God. So let's expect the encouragement. Let's expect deliverance when we need it. And then let's make the effort to bring encouragement to our brothers and sisters. And let's continue to help them by praying for them. And I hope this was encouraging this morning. Father, you are the God of all encouragement, and we praise you this morning and thank you for your great love. And as you told us this morning in manifestations, it's never going to end. Nothing can separate us from your love. Thank you for the completed work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, enabling us to be literally children of God. We belong to you. Thank you for all of the great promises in your word, and especially the promise, Father, of the great hope of Jesus Christ coming back. And until then, Father, may we enjoy the encouragement that you've made available to us, and may we bring encouragement to others. I pray for everyone here, for those that couldn't make it, and also, Father, I pray for anyone that listens to this on the website. Thanks for the privilege of sharing your word with your people, and may we all have a wonderfully blessed week. And Father, may you bless all moms today, wherever they may be. Bless them. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.